just first off, with regards to this evening's event, you said that this is the first time that they've had here at IMU. Just how nice was it to, I guess, have the change of scenery?
You know, I guess I'm a big nostalgia guy. I'm a world history buff, U.S. history in particular, but I got thinking during the program tonight how appropriate on a year where we're honoring the 50th anniversary of the 1960 Rose Bowl team. That was the one and only team to win a national championship. They won the Grantland Rice Trophy that year. So as we stand in the IMU, a building of great history and tradition, here we are 50 years later. Could history repeat itself? So I'm thinking, how prophetic might it be to have the event here this year? And I don't want to put any more pressure on Kirk Ferentz and his football team, but it's just kind of the way I think sometimes. But I love it. It's amazing when you think the devastation this building took on a couple short years ago with the floods. With this, even though it's a beautiful river, it can be a roaring river right out our back door here. But this is tremendous. I think it's found a home for a while.
What does it mean for you to have been the MC for this event, and to just see the Iowa High Clubs and just everything that they do, not just the ones that won awards tonight, but all the ones across the state?
Iowa, and I've said this as I travel the country, and I have many, many good friends who are play-by-play announcers at other Division I schools, and their fundraising mechanisms don't touch this level or this passion of support. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact we're a rural state. We don't have any professional sports teams to speak of. I know we have minor league baseball. But really, the whole state, when it comes to athletics and every fall, revolves around college football and the University of Iowa. And I'm not saying that to slight Iowa State or anybody else, but there's something special about being a Hawkeye fan. And I've seen it. This is my 15th year now of doing the Golden Harvest. And Jim Zobel before me, the same people are here. They're a little grayer. They're a little older, maybe a little more hunchback over. But they're bringing their grandkids. They're bringing their sons and daughters. It's generational with Iowa Hawkeyes. And that's what makes it so special for me on the Hawkeye Network. To me, we're also a radio state because we're an ag state. We don't go anywhere without our AM radio or FM radio. And so, to me, that's why it's so special to come to an event like this or go to the iClubs that we fan out to all over the state.
And tonight during this event, they had basically a montage, if you will, of the last 10 years and some of Coach Ferentz's success. What was it like for you just kind of basically reliving all those moments that you got a chance to call?
Well, most of them I recognized. I had to chuckle at Kirk in the locker room with the Reebok logo on the old uniforms. That was that Penn State game that Ryan Hansen picked the pass off in the second overtime, and that got Iowa its second win of the season. They would come home the next week and beat Northwestern, a team that was favored to go to the Rose Bowl that year. They had Darnell Autry. They had a great team.
Yes,
and Iowa pounded them. Kustak, no, actually, I think it might have been before Kustak. But either way, Iowa pounded a top 20-ranked Northwestern team at Kinnick Stadium the very next weekend and ended up 3-9. Everybody goes, well, okay, what's everybody getting excited about? Well, to me, that Ryan Hansen interception at Happy Valley, at Penn State, where no team goes in and just wins, and yet Iowa's done it regularly, that kind of lit the fire whereby the players felt that, this guy does have a solid game plan. Kirk Ferentz does have his eye on the ball. And from there, not only Kirk Ferentz, but that staff has stayed pretty much intact. I think that's been a real key, the stability of the staff. He's only lost a few guys, as to the pros or to retirement. And as they have stayed together, the program got better and stayed together. And the very next year, which by most experts' accounts was going to take 5 years to rebuild, took three. The next year they go to Texas and win the Alamo Bowl over a really good high-scoring Texas Tech team. And they've never looked back after that.
Coach Ferentz, at the very end of this, he went up and talked about the upcoming season. He revealed this evening that Iowa's going to be preseason number two in the Big Ten. Well, what are your thoughts when you look at this upcoming season? Just where do you think, Iowa stands in comparison to the recent numbers?
Well, to begin with, I never get too caught up in preseason polls because, and I've been at this 37 years, and some things never change. As he said, basically your preseason rankings, granted it's on who's coming back, but more so preseason rankings are based on what you did last year. I'll guarantee you, Boise State is ranked really high because, A, they were 13-0 a year ago. Now, we know they're going to be good again, but everybody remembers the Orange Bowl win and the 11 victories and all the glitz that went with going to Miami, and that's wonderful. Now, the key component there is, though, I think it's 28 seniors, if I counted them up right, many of them starters. That, to me, validates this team as I think certainly a top 20 team. Are they a top 10 team? I'm not going to nitpick over rankings. As far as number two in the Big Ten poll, I think that's fair. I think it's accurate. I think it's legitimate. I always predicate comments like that based on health. Iowa does not have the depth, nor will we ever have the depth of an Ohio State or a Penn State, even Michigan. Michigan's got talent top to bottom that other schools can't compare to. But I think Iowa's two deeps, Brandon, are as good as any team in the Big Ten this year. And I've always felt that if you've got a really good defense and a really good quarterback, you got a chance. Well, Iowa has both this year, and they have that upper-class leadership sprinkled through it. I know a lot of hand-wringings going on about the offensive line and the tight end, and I think those are valid concerns. But Kirk and Reese Morgan and the staff have proven over time, over 2 to 3 to 4 weeks in the non-conference portion of the schedule, they get better every week, and by the time the Big Ten gets here, they take off. I mean, the light goes on. So I think number two in the Big Ten behind Ohio State is accurate. That said, I guarantee you Wisconsin's going to be better. You know, Michigan State has got the talent. Michigan has to be better, don't they? Penn State's always good. I mean, I've mentioned half the league right now and haven't even mentioned Purdue and Minnesota. And you know, there's so much excitement about this year without Nebraska coming into the Big Ten. Just imagine when the Cornhuskers get here next year what it's going to be like.
Well, Gary, thank you very much.
You bet, Brandon.
And I'll see you in Chicago.
All right, we'll look forward to it, man. Thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, buddy.
That's going to do it for this podcast here. Again, thank you for visiting my website, HawkeyeDrive.com. We will have subscriptions going into effect on Monday. I'm going to be heading out to Chicago tomorrow for the 2010 Big Ten Football Media Days. This is Brendan Stiles. Have a good evening, Hawkeye fans.